All right, brethren, Philippians chapter 1. I want to read our text again in verse 21. Paul said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, you know, Paul is in prison at Rome when he's writing this letter. And he repeatedly calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Yes, men put him in chains, but he knew it was the Lord Jesus that put him where he was. And he was the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find him repeatedly through this epistle speaking of his joy. And he wanted the Philippian brethren to have joy like he had. And that joy was in Christ. It was in Christ. The Spirit of God had assured Paul, given him assurance in his heart. And therefore, Paul is assuring his brethren with the same assurance that the Spirit of God has assured him with. And this is what Paul's assurance was, and this is what every true sanctified child of God, this is the assurance God gives to us. This is the assurance he puts in the heart of his saints. Being one with Christ. Here it is. Being one with Christ. Having been born of his Spirit and given faith to trust Christ. Having him as our only righteousness. Having him abiding with us continually, according to his promise. Nothing spiritually bad ever happens to the believer. Nothing spiritually bad will ever happen to the believer. In fact, really nothing physically bad ever happens to us. We judge it to be bad if it causes us sorrow or pain. But the good that God brings out of it, like Paul said, it works for us an eternal weight of glory. It causes us not to look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. It makes us to see what Christ has done for us, who he is for us, what he's doing for us. And so that far outweighs whatever we might have considered to be bad. Truly, for God's saints, nothing spiritually bad or physically bad is ever going to happen to us. Our Lord's keeping us. So whether we live or we die, it's good for God's people. It will be all good for God's people. Doesn't mean we won't suffer. Doesn't mean we won't go through much tribulation. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that Paul knew if he lived, then by the Spirit of the Lord, keeping him, preserving him, giving him faith, giving him the word to preach, he would continue living unto Christ, preaching the gospel of Christ. And he knew if he died, he'd be with Christ immediately. So either way, if he lived or died, it's going to be good. And that's true for you and me, brethren. That's exactly true for you and me. Now I want to just look at the things Paul said here and think about them a little bit. First of all, he said, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Now, some people in this world, to them, life is having a healthy body, being healthy. They pamper the flesh. They get a lot of bodily exercise, and they try to stay healthy. And you'll hear men speak how this is going to prolong your life. Well, it's good to be healthy. It's good to exercise. It's good to watch, not overeat, be a glutton and what have you. But good health is just a healthier way that you're going to eventually die. What it is. For others, life is family. Everything revolves around family. And everything they do in this world, they're doing it for family. They would be willing, some even go so far as to be willing to deny the gospel of Christ for family, for a spouse, or for children. Now, it's good to love your family. It's good to provide for your family. But always remember, Christ is preeminent. And he's preeminent in the hearts of his people. We have to stand with Christ, come what may. For some others, life is gain in this world. Their career is their life. Their house, their land, their riches, and getting more of it. This is their life. It's what they think about. This is what they live for. This is what is on their mind constantly. That's, and really and truly, for every unregenerate sinner, all of that is their life. Every bit of that. Some may be more concerned with getting gain, or some may be more concerned with family, but all of those things is all that the natural man is concerned about. That's his life. It's just what is here and now, what he can see, what the carnal eye can see, what he can enjoy with the five senses. That's life to him. But to Paul and to God's saints that are born of his spirit and given faith, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. It's because, and the reason that's so, now, first of all, is because Christ is the life of his saints. He is our life. He's our life. He's the reason we have spiritual life. Christ is that life. I won't have you turn there, but you remember in John 14, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the reason Christ is the way, and the reason he's the truth, and he's the life, is because he is righteousness. That's how he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's righteousness, brethren. You think about that now. Christ is the way because he is the righteousness of God. He's the righteousness God provided for God's chosen people. And he's the only righteousness God will receive us in. So he's the only way you can come to the Father is in Christ Jesus the righteous. It's because he's righteous. He's the righteousness of his people. Therefore, he's the way to God for his people. The only way. And he's the truth because he's righteousness. The Lord Jesus came here to fulfill the law for his people because we broke the law. And he came to fulfill it, to be the truth, to be the righteousness of, he's the truth of the word because he's the righteousness this word reveals. He's the truth of the law because he's the righteousness the law bears witness to. And he came to go to the cross to bear the sin of his people so that he would make righteousness and mercy meet. Truth and mercy would meet. So that God would be just to be merciful to us because he didn't do it in a way that violated his law. He wouldn't show us mercy in a way that took away from his holy justice. So Christ he's the way because he's the righteousness God provided. He's the truth because he is the righteousness in which his people are made righteous. David knew way back there, we underestimate God's saints. They were taught of the Spirit of God and they might not have seen as clearly as we see in hindsight, but they saw. They knew Christ was their righteousness. And David knew that the way his life would be prolonged, and he's not talking about just in this world, he's talking about eternally, was that Christ would come and he would prepare all things for him by making mercy and truth to meet in harmony. Listen to this now from Psalm 61:6. This is what David prayed. In Psalm 61:6, he said, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever." He's not talking about just prolonged life in this world. He's talking about being with God, before God, and accepted of God forever. And here's how he said the Lord would do this. "Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve the king." And that's what Christ came to do, to prepare mercy and truth. Make the mercy of God toward his people to be done in truth, in righteousness. And on the cross in Christ, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So when Christ says, "I'm the truth," he's declaring, "I'm the righteousness." Truth and righteousness. Righteousness and truth. It's the same thing. Christ is the truth. And God's saints walk in the truth when we walk by faith in Christ the truth. Trusting Christ alone is our righteousness. Brother Adam just read that passage for 1 John where he said, "He that walks in the light does truth. And if you walk in darkness, you do not the truth." Christ in John 3 declared plainly what it is to do the truth. He said he comes to the light. He comes to Christ that his works may be manifest, that they're all worked in the Lord, that the Lord worked his works for him, and the Lord made him righteous. So you want to walk in the truth, walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting he's your only righteousness. And then Christ is the life. And that's what Paul, to me, to live is Christ. And the first reason is because Christ is the life. And again, it's because Christ is the righteousness. I've said this so many times. Sin is death. Righteousness is life. Those things are equal. Go with me to Romans 8. I'm going to show you this in one verse. Romans 8. Romans 8. Paul declares both right here. Romans 8 and verse 10. He said, "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." You see that? The body's dead because of sin. By one man, sin entered, and what? Death by sin. So when God sees you as sin, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead before the law of God, guilty, and you're dead spiritually. But when Christ is your righteousness and Christ has entered in, you have life because of his righteousness. Does that make you with me? You get that, Adam? It's you have life because before God you have no sin. And you're perfectly righteous by Christ. So that's what Paul was saying over in Galatians 2:20 when he said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." He's my life in me. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ." He's guiding me and correcting me and teaching me and moving me and turning me and causing me to walk this way and not that way. And he's working his goodwill in me. Christ, the life I'm living, right? I live by the faith of Christ, by his faithfulness working in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ is the giver of life. He's the life himself. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. Christ is the hope of life. And I'm not talking about life in this world, though he is the giver of life in this world. I'm talking about eternal life. Christ is eternal life. He's the giver of eternal life. He's the sustainer of eternal life. And he's our hope of eternal life. So he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him, because in every one of those three things. He's our righteousness, brethren. He's our righteousness. But now in the context, when Paul said, for me to live is Christ, he means Christ and his glory and his gospel and the calling out of his people. That was the sum and substance of Paul's life. He was living to preach Christ. He was living to see Christ glorified. He was living to see the Spirit of God call out his people through the gospel. He was living to see those saints already called be grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ. His life was summed up in that he lived to Christ and for Christ, to promote his gospel and his glory. He said there in verse 22, he said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. He's saying to continue preaching Christ. At the end of verse 25, he says, for your furtherance and joy of faith. That's what he was living for. He said that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, not all God's saints are preachers, but all God's saints live to Christ and for Christ. God's saints seek the things that be of Christ. That's what we're doing. We're seeking the things that be of Christ. His preachers seek the things that be of Christ. This was Paul's heartbreak. We saw last time he talked about those that preach the gospel out of contention, trying to add to his bondage and his affliction. And this was his heartbreak. He said over there, look at Philippians 2. He was talking about Timothy being of like mind with him, and he would send Timothy to them because he was faithful. And this is what he said in verse 21. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. They seek their own glory. They seek their own will. They seek their own word. They seek their own way. And they're not seeking the things that are of Christ. But Paul said to the Corinthians, he said this. He said, I'm not seeking mine own profit. He said, but the profit of many that they may be saved. That was Paul's heart. We live to promote Christ's glory, not our own. We're living to promote his glory, not our own. We live to bear witness of Christ to others. Try to go through your day, and at some point in your day, look for an opportunity to bear witness of Christ to somebody. Or invite them to come hear the gospel preached. We live to send forth the gospel of Christ. Not everybody in God's house is a preacher, but we're all together contributing to send the gospel forth. We live to seek Christ's lost sheep. That's where we're on the trail of Christ's lost sheep. We don't know where they are. We don't know who they are. The Lord does, and the Lord will draw. He'll draw his people unto the gospel, or he'll bring the gospel to them and draw them to where his people are, and he'll cause them to hear the gospel. That's what we're living for right now. And we're living to see him grow those that he's already called. That's why we gather to hear the gospel. We want to hear more about Christ and grow in knowledge of him, be grown in the grace of our Lord Jesus, by what he's supplying to us through the preaching of the word. Our life is Christ. We have to work jobs. We have to, you know, we have to live, so we're going to have to provide our necessities and all of that. But God's people are learning as we go through this world. We start out in life and we're just like everybody else in the world. We think to be successful in life, you need to get everything you can get, a high-paying job, so you can have a big house and a nice car and lots of money in the bank and all of that. Well, that's nice if you have that. But if we read this word and we understand this word, the Lord said that's the surest way to choke out the gospel. He warns against that more than anything in this world. The very thing that we grow up seeking and being taught to seek is the thing in this word that God says will choke the word and make you unprofitable. And he said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if you look around in the churches, there's not many mighty and there's not many noble. The Lord provides a few that he's blessed to have riches, but he also blessed them with hearts to to not live for those riches, but to use them for the furtherance of the gospel. And so what he teaches us to do is to live unto Christ in everything. Why do you work? Why do you work? What's the first thought that comes to your mind? For God's people, the first thought that comes to our mind should be for Christ, to promote the gospel, to send forth the gospel. If it's so I can have a big house and the nicest clothes and whatever, that's living for self. Living for Christ is, I want to work so I can send the gospel forth. I want to do what I do in this world so I can send the gospel forth. Whether it's me talking to, I want to work the best I can work at my job so that hopefully the guy next to me will say, why do you work so hard? That boss we got is he's mean as a snake. Why do you work so hard for him? Why are you so good to him? He's mean as a snake. You can say, I'm not working unto him, but unto my Lord. And it just opened up the door for you to show how that when Christ walked this earth, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He didn't tarry. He didn't dilly-dally around. He was, from the moment he hit the ground, he was doing the Father's business. And he gave you opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody. And here's our constraint over in 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. I was going to speak more on this passage right here tonight, but I think I'm going to wait and do so in the next passage we come to in Philippians, because there's something I want to show you. But let me just give you here. Here's our constraint right here. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It's talking about his love for us. Yes, we do love him, but we're talking about he first loved us. And everything he's done for us is what is the constraint of our heart. Because we thus judge, this is righteous judgment, this is a spiritual discernment he's given us, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. All those for whom Christ died, first of all, we were all dead in sin. But when Christ went to the cross and bore the sin of all God's elect, before the holy bar of God's judgment, all his people died in Christ. Our old man of sin, the nature's still with us and we still sin, but before God, before the law, that old man is dead already. He's been crucified. Justice has been poured out on him. Now listen, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's what Paul's saying in our text. For me to live is Christ. It's Christ. So, brethren, whatsoever you do, this is what Paul said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Live to Christ. He took the law out of the way so you can live to Christ now. Live to God. So whatever you do, do it heartily, with all your heart, not to men, to Christ, to the Lord. Now, that's what to Paul, to live was to preach Christ. Now, secondly, he says, and to die is gain. To most, death's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing. To any that don't have Christ as their only righteousness, it should be a fearful thing. And there are many in this world that try to imagine death is the end. That when they die physically, that's it. There's nothing else. But there is something else. There's the judgment. And if you meet God without Christ, there's something in Scripture called the second death. That's when the Lord would cast out all who try to come to him and by their own works and by their own righteousness, by their own holiness. He'll cast them out, and they will suffer great loss for eternity. But for those who believe Christ, by the grace of God for you that he's called and made you to have no other wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, but Christ. So those of you who he's made Christ to be your all, death is gain for you. It's gain for you. Paul called it here a departure. You see that? He called it a departure. He didn't call it death. He called it a departure. The believer, for the believer, for God's saints, physical death is a departure from this world into God's presence to be with Christ forever. It's just a departure. Just like if you left this country and went across the sea to another country, you just departed to another country. That's what death is for the believer. It's a departure into God's presence. For the believer, death means being with Christ. Notice here, Paul didn't say, I have a desire to depart and to be in heaven. He didn't say, I have a desire to depart and have a mansion in the sky. He said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Christ is the believer's heaven. Christ is our heaven. To be with Christ is far better. To be with Christ is far better. For God's saints, physical death is to be immediately with Christ. The moment your spirit leaves this body, you'll be with Christ immediately. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And get this now, that new spirit that he put in you is fit right now to go into God's presence. You won't read of one thing in Scripture that has to be done to your holy, to your new man that he's put in you, the new spirit he's put in you. Nothing has to be done to it for you to go to be with Christ immediately, because Christ is the holiness and righteousness of the new man. And you go be with him immediately. To be with Christ, those that are made righteous in Christ, to die is gain, because it is to be with Christ. That's why it's gain. And that's far better. We'll put off this natural body of sin and death. Why does your body hurt? As you know, when you're younger, you get up in the morning and hit the ground running. As you get older, you get up, and it's not a matter if your body's going to hurt. It's just a matter where it's going to hurt. And why is that? Because it's dying. It's dust, and it's going back to the dust. It's dying. But when you die, you get to put it off. All its weakness and all its pain, you'll be given a perfect body, perfect, immortal, full of strength, ever young. We're going to put off this sin nature. Everything that causes us problem in this world is due to our sin nature. Everything makes you desire anything contrary to the Word of God, contrary to Christ, is because there is a sin nature in you. That's what does it. In our flesh, that is that sinful part of us, there's nothing good. Nothing. But we'll put that off. We'll put it off with all its sin, with all its shame. And then this new holy man that he's given, this new spirit he's put in you, will be given a new perfect body, and you'll be perfect in body, soul, and spirit. Right now, we see through a glass darkly. We got, brethren, I'm telling you, you know this is so. We ought not argue doctrine with men, because everything you know, and everything I know, and everything we know collectively, compared to what there is to know, we could all put it in a thimble. We'd see through a glass darkly. We know very little. Paul compared it to childish things. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's he talking about? He's talking about when I depart from this life with all the blessings, as great as they are, faith and hope. He said, but when I go be with Christ, I'm going to be grown then. Right now, this is like a childish. We just see through glass darkly. But then you're going to know Christ like he knows you. Know everything that was ever just a mystery to you. You'll know it all. And you'll see it's all glorifying Christ, everything. We won't have any more trials, won't have any more trouble, won't have any more sorrows, and there'll be no more death. There's one thing that you'll never find in heaven that you will always find in this earth. In heaven, there are no cemeteries. There is no cemeteries. There's no need. there is no death because there is no sin. All have been made righteous by Christ alone. And he gets the glory. And then we'll have unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect fellowship, perfect worship with Christ. And perfect communion and fellowship with our brethren around the feet of Christ in glory. That's why he said to depart is great gain. None of us liveth to himself. Paul said either way. He said, I'm Christ and I worship and serve him either way. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is what he said in Romans 14:7. None of us lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. We live, therefore, or die. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So either way. And so Paul said, I'm not going to make the choice. He said, I'm leaving it with God. It's up to God's will, whether he'll have me here longer or whether he'll take me there. He said, I'm in a strait between the two. I know it's far better to be with Christ, but I see the need of my brethren, and I'm in a strait between the two. He's like a wife and a mother whose husband's on the other side of the ocean, but her children are right here with her. And she just has a heart to go be with her husband, but she knows her children need her, and she's torn between going and being with her husband and being here with her children that need her. And that's where Paul was. He wanted to go be with Christ, but his spiritual children, the Philippians and all the other brethren, needed him. And so he said, the choice is not mine to make. Choice is not mine to make. But he had confidence that because those brethren needed him, that the Lord would use him a little longer and wouldn't permit Caesar to kill him just yet. And he'd live a little longer and he'd come minister to him. And he did. He came and saw him again at Philippi and ministered to him. So brethren, pray for God to give us the heart to live to him while we're in this earth, while we're in this body, while we live here. And pray for God to give us the grace to bow to his will, that if it's his good pleasure for us to live here, then let it be for me to live as Christ. But if it's God's will that we depart, then we have this confidence knowing it's far better. And let us trust whatever is God's will, that's what will be for the best. And let us ask for grace to submit to his will. And if we're left here for a while longer, ask God to make you useful. Ask God to make you used in his kingdom, and look for ways to be used to further his gospel. That's what living to Christ is all about. It's bearing witness of Christ, preaching him. I pray he blessed that, Brother Greg.